So, Rabbi Isai, we left off last time at the end of Perek Vav of Shar Bitachon. And there, the subject, at the last subject that the Chayvus Levavos addresses is the subject of the Kat HaMamashkelim Es Hashem, the Kat Balei Mashkoinis. People who want, they say they'll serve the Rabbi Shalom, but only if their Rebbeinu Shlom gives them a guarantee. They want to be guaranteed. They want Yiddishkeit with a warranty and a guarantee. Then they'll serve God. So we're believing God, we're fine. But if God will pay us in advance, and advance us all the money we need for the rest of our life, then I'll have time to be Noivet Hashem. But otherwise, can't do it. So, the Chavis Levavis, the Chavis Levav has said that that was a very foolish thing to do for many reasons. And we went through three reasons already. Why to ask Hashem for a security in advance is a chutzpah, klapi, the Rebbeinu Shalom, and foolish. And now we're up to the fourth reason. We did three reasons already. Now we're into the fourth reason. Fourth reason is, all the reasons are very similar, actually. There's a lot of similarity between them. But as usual, the Chavis Levavos, with his analytic mind, sees the slightest nuance of difference, and he focuses on it and brings out something which to you and I would just think to be a slight variation. He sees it as something important, worthwhile of putting under its own chapter or heading. He says, the Pircha Revias, we have seven Pirchas, seven refutations of this false view. And the fourth is, the reason why a person takes a guarantee from his friend is from one of three reasons. Number one, either you're afraid your friend will get poor, so he won't be able to pay you back later on. So you take an advance, a mashkon, collateral. You take collateral. Number two, you're afraid maybe your friend will be able to pay, but he won't want to pay. He won't want to pay. Or three, you're afraid that the friend might die before he gets a chance to pay. Or you won't be able to find him. So either your friend won't be able to pay because he's too poor, he won't want to pay because he's dishonest, or he can't pay because he's dead or because he's not here. And the collateral is the perfect guarantee for all these things because you have it in your hand. But if a person would know that none of these three above can happen to his friend, so he wouldn't want to have a mashkin. So if he knows his friend never gets poor, he knows his friend never goes back on his word, he knows his friend never dies and never disappears, so there'd be absolutely no reason to have a mashkin. So therefore, can you imagine what a gnus gadol it is? Gnus gedoyla v'atzuma. What a chutzpah, what a disgusting, reprehensible thing it is for a person to try to take a guarantee from the Rebbeinu Shalom. These things are not shy to the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, in the words of the Navi Chagai, Li HaKesef, Li HaZov, Numa Denai Tzva'ois, all the money belongs to Hashem. Hashem never gets poor. Hashem never goes back on His word. Hashem doesn't die. Hashem is always around. He never disappears. So the temerity, the nerve, the audacity to say to the Rebbeinu Shalom, I'll only serve you if you let me win the lottery first or get a nice Yerusha, then I'll sit and learn, then I'll daven like a mensch. Like this, I have to run to work. So it doesn't make any sense. That's the fourth pircha. Then he says like this, the fifth pircha is as follows. He says, what is the reason why a person wants collateral? You want collateral because collateral gives you peace of mind. What we really want more than money is peace of mind. Peace of mind. Why do you like having money in the bank? You're not going to use it anyway. You wouldn't spend on yourself. Yekis don't spend on themselves. So what do you want the money in the bank anyway for? You don't want to spend anything. You want to live a plain, push the life. You don't forgive yourself. You literally want the money for security. So you feel good. You have menucha. Oh, if only I got peace of mind. If the money be in the bank, I'd feel so good. I'd be tranquil, calm. Ah, that's such secure. I feel so secure. Zokter, would you really feel secure? The truth of the matter is, you're making a mistake. Big mistake. Because if the Rabbanim Shel Tak would give you what do you want? $5 million in the bank? When you start thinking how much you really want, if even 5 million is not so good, because you only make 5% on a very secure investment, so what's $250,000 a year? How can you live on $250,000 a year? You can't live on $250,000. And it's taxes. By the time you finish, you're not going to be happy. So anyway, you see, up to 10 million already, Mistama. 5%. Maybe. Cutting it close, but maybe be happy. She says, you're going to be so happy? Just the opposite. The minute you win that lottery, and you get the 10 million, $20 million, or you get the yearly allocation, then your worries first start. Because you got to think of the best way to protect your money. Banks, I don't know. The FDC only gives $100,000. So I'll have to make 20 different accounts, 50 different accounts. Oh, put in my kids' names. I don't trust my kids, though. And kids, you know, you can't trust those kids. My wife, for sure not. So who am I going to trust? I think I start thinking who I trust. Oh, the Rav. Yeah, but I can only give the Rav $100,000. He's not trustworthy. Him I can trust for my life. No question. But the whole ASIC. So the Rav, yeah, okay, the Rav I'll give him, but still it's not enough. I got $10 million to cover over here. So maybe I'll put it into a mutual fund. Mutual funds, I don't know. I looked in the paper today, there's like a whole page of them in small print in the back of the Times. Which one do I take? Fidelity, Magellan, this, that, Rocket Ship, who knows? He says, once you get that money up front from the Rabbanim Shel Tak, then your star really starts. Who do I trust? What do I do? And even if you talk, I'm not going to put it in I don't trust the mutual funds. I'll put a tack in the bank. But, you know, the banks, okay, it's $100,000 here. But I'm talking losing money. It's only 4%. I could be getting so much more. So should I? Shouldn't I? Every night it gets tossed and turned. Should I put it in the mutual fund? Shouldn't I put it in the mutual fund? Maybe the bank, maybe this bank, maybe that bank, many a money market. You're going to go crazy. You're going to go mishuga. So then you're going to decide maybe you'll put it in the Swiss bank account. And you'll worry about that also. So he says the people who think that they're going to have menuchas on nefesh when they get the money up front are really, really fooling themselves, because it says in Pirkei Avos, mar b'nechasim, mar b'daiga. The more you own, the more you groan. The more you own, the more you worry, and you have scattering of the soul. So you have less peace of mind, actually, he says. And the Pirkei Avos says, mar b'nechasim, mar b'daiga, that's an absolute, that's like a curse, by the way. It's not like a piece of advice. That's a statement, a fact. Just like there's a law of gravity which cannot be defied. If you throw it up, it's going to fall down. It just has to be like that. It's not shy to defy this. If I throw this watch up, it's going to smash on the floor. So to Yomar b'nechasim, Yomar b'daiga. There's just no etzah. It's a guarantee. The more you have, so if you have one office, if you're a doctor, if you own one nursing home, fine. You have two nursing homes, you have more daigas. That's all. No more money. Because only there's one nursing home for the money, two nursing homes, three nursing homes, four daycare centers is just more than a guarantee. Don't think otherwise. No, but Rabbi, if I only had, I'm doing so well in my one daycare center. If I had two, I'd be so financially secure. I'd feel so much better about life. Wouldn't it be better to have a second daycare center, a second office, a second publication, a second business, a second website? One website is Gan Eden, so two websites must be double Gan Eden. Gan Eden.com. I'd be calm. If I had two websites, I'd be .com. So about to give this Rabbi, it makes a lot of sense to have two websites to make more money. Sorry, Pirkei Avos says Mar ben Nechasim, Mar bedaiga. You have more tirdas alev, more agmas nefesh. It's not going to help you to be serve Hashem more. Fakeri says, so you're telling me you want more money to serve Hashem more. More money, you serve Hashem less. That is the maxim of spiritual physics. The law of Torah physics is, the more you have, the less you serve. The more you have, the less peace of mind you have. The more pieces you have, the more your mind is in pieces. You have less peace of mind. The more pieces of the pie, the less peace of mind. How do you like that? That's a good way of putting it. More pieces of the pie, your mind is split into many more pieces, and there's less peace of mind. Azoi paskin the chayvus alavavus and the shulchan aruch of bitachon. So that's the fifth pircha. You ask the money up front, you're only asking for more trouble. So despite this, all, you know, we can hear. We'll talk about it the whole day.
but lemaisa, when the check comes in the mail today, I don't see everyone running over to me to just give it to tzedakah right away. When you get the $1 million check in the mail today, Shimon Pepper, you're not going to run over and just say, I don't want this money, keep it, take it out of my hands, like fire, like a hot potato. You know what, I'll do the same thing, I'll keep it to myself. So, I'm no better than you. Sixth pircha is, he said like this, what if you would know? So you go to your friend, and you say to your friend, hey listen, I will be glad to work for you, I'll be glad to do anything for you, but pay me up front. I want collateral that you're going to pay me. What if your friend would tell you that if you just wait a little bit, I'll pay you double? Friend says, listen, you're going to work for me. I'll pay $100 an hour. But if you wait for your wages, don't ask for the money up front. If you just wait till the end of the week, I promise you I'll double your salary. I'll give you $200 a month. So wouldn't you want to wait till the end of the week? So too says the Rabbanim Shlom. The schar you get is not just for serving me. The schar you get is dafke for waiting for your wages. Part of the avodas Hashem is to wait for the wages. So to ask for the wages up front is an oxymoron to avodas Hashem. Because the very part of avodas Hashem is al tiyu kavodim Hashem shem alatzal pras. Part of the avoida is to work without wages. That's taich in the mitzvah. The Kuzri says that a mitzvah is, it's a beautiful word from the Kuzri. The Kuzri says a taich of a mitzvah. I heard this when I was speaking in Lakewood a few weeks ago, so Rabbi Matas Yo Solomon spoke right before me. And he said that the Kuzri says that a mitzvah is like an invitation from a king to come to a grand banquet in his palace, where you'll be served hand and foot. That's a personal invitation from the king. Come and join me. But the only way you get in is if you do this and this action. If you'll do this and this action for me, if you'll serve me in this way, then you're invited to come to the grand banquet in my gorgeous palace, and the partying goes on and on and on. It's a non-stop party. Join me at the party, become a party mensch, a party angel forever, but just do this and this service. So he says, the Chazal Rav says that every mitzvah is a bilet, an invitation with a ticket. It's an invitation to the party, plus a ticket that you only get in when you give over this invitation. I told you once, Chief Rabbi Jacobowitz, when I was staying in his house, wanted to give me a memento, so he gave me the invitation that the Lord High Chamberlain of Queen Elizabeth sent them to come to the tea party in Buckingham Palace. And it said, first you get two things. You get an invitation to come to the party. And then if you say yes, then they send you another invitation from the Queen. The first one comes from the Chamberlain. He says, if the Queen would invite you, would you say yes? Because you can't say no to the Queen. And once you say yes to the Chamberlain, then she sends you, in her name, an invitation. That is your ticket to get in. So too says the Kuzri, every mitzvah has, it's an invitation to the party. And if you say yes, which means by doing the mitzvah, which is inherent in the invitation, then you get a ticket to come into the party. So he says, but you have to wait. You don't come to the party right away. You have to do something first. Then you go to the party. So by definition, a mitzvah is not a pay up front. It is a pay later situation. It's a pay later situation. So how can you ask? So you're foolish to ask for a reward up front, because you're shortchanging yourself. Because you're not going to get the real reward of the mitzvah. You can get rewarded by the mitzvah and say, Hashem says, okay, do a mitzvah, I'll pay you $100. You need some money for groceries today? That's what you want for the mitzvah? Okay, here's $100. Fine, you want $100, you're Irish. Because schar mitzvah b'hayom malecha. Really the reward for mitzvah is not in this world. The reward for mitzvah is in a different world. It's a different kind of a party. It's a different kind of a world, different kind of a palace. We have no asag in Hashem's palace. We have no asag in Hashem's party. We have no idea. So to get reward in this world, really, what he's saying is you're cashing in this world. You're cashing in cheap. You're foolish. So by definition, the avoid of a mitzvah is, the avoid is to work without pay. To work with the faith that you get paid at the end. And the schar there is something beyond the comprehension. And there's no way to even describe it in our mouths. Like the Navi Yeshayah says in Perek Samad Dalet, Ayin le'rosa elohim zu lascha, yas le'machak eloi. And that's what God will do for those who wait for him. If you wait, the whole schar of the mitzvah is the waiting. The schar of the mitzvah is not so much even the action; it's the waiting to get paid at the end. So, that's pshat. That's what he types at the pasuk. Ayin loyros elohim zulascha yaseh lemachakelo. Hashem will do it for those who wait for him. So by so you make it. It's mamish. It's a totally distorted concept of what a mitzvah is to even want to be paid up front. So if we're angry at God and we're saying, "Hey God, where are you? I'm so good to you. I'm such a good Jew. I came to davening every day. I never miss a davening. I never miss a mincha with a minion. I never miss a mayer with a minion. I'm so kosher. You have no idea. Where is my reward? Everyone else is partying in this world. Where's my party?" God says, "You don't want a party in this world." That's exactly the point. They're not doing the mitzvahs right. They're partying here. If you party here, you part with me there. Party here, you part there. If you don't party here, then you get the party there. So those who ask why, so they get a party with a why at the end. But if you don't ask why, Rabbi Shalom, don't I get my party here? So this world, you only get a part. You get enough to live on. You get a little bit. And then the party, you save the why for there, and you have the party there. So that's what he says. This itself, we could sit here, just close the lights and meditate on this for a couple of hours. Preferably stay in your head. It's even better. The blood. Just the thought that mamash, we're better off just waiting. Don't even ask for reward in this world. Who wants reward in this world? It's shortchanging yourself. Gewalt. The seventh pircha, the seventh refutation. To those who want to get their, they want up front, they want collateral up front, kat memashkina es Hashem, is, he says like this. Oh, he says, baita. This is the final pircha. He says, if you ask for collateral, that means that you, the worker, have absolute faith in yourself. You have absolute faith in your ability to deliver the goods. I will do the work. So you say to the baseball team, I'll play for this season because I know, and I want you to pay me my million dollars. That's nothing. That's for bat boys today. So I want to get my, $11 million for this year plus bonus up front. Because you're for sure that you are the greatest slugger around and you can hit 70 home runs. And you can beat all the averages. You know, you can do it. Zog the Chavos Avavos, yes, maybe that's so in any physical actions. But to serve the Rebbeinu Shlom spiritually, anybody with a mind has to realize that there's nobody in the world that can say that they are guaranteed they can serve Hashem. Because, Adarabba, the only way to serve the Rebbeinu Shlom is Kulay Siyata Deshmaya. On our own, we can't learn Torah because we don't have no brains. On our own, we can't do a mitzvah because we have no strength. We have absolutely our mamish, cripples, quadriplegics, brain dead when it comes to avodas Hashem. And unless the Rebbeinu Shlom gives us siyata d'shmaya, we can't put on tefillin every day. We can't learn a blat gemara. We can't learn a pasuk chumash. We can't do anything. The Rebbeinu Shlom gives us the energy. Since the energy to do tefillin is spiritual energy, we make a mistake. We think it's spiritual energy. It's spiritual energy. So how can the person ask the Rebbeinu Shlom, pay me up front what I'll do if we're not guaranteed we can do? And we can't even do without the help of the person from whom we're demanding the collateral. He says, afilu a tzaddik, afilu adam, shu tzaddik, and the pereyas ha-choyves ha-mutalam alav, he says, even the biggest tzaddik, don't think I'm talking about you and me. The biggest tzaddik, the Gras de Rebbe, the biggest Paisik Lamdin, the Chavetz Chaim, could not do anything in the service of Hashem unless the Rebbeinu Shlom held his hand and wrote the Shmiras HaLashon with him and for him. And if the Rebbeinu Shlom didn't shut his mouth, then the Chavetz Chaim would not have been able to have Shmiras HaLashon. So when he said L'Kayin Netzor every day, and by the end of Shmoneh Esrei, that's what made him succeed. Only that Tfilah, Hashem, you do it to me. You guard my tongue. The Chavetz Chaim was not a Shemer L'Shoinai. He was not a shomer anything. Only the Rabbanei Shalom helped him do it. All we can do is ask for siyata d'shmaya. And listen to this. This is so chavis levavis. He says that one of the chassidim made up a special prayer. He says once there was a chassid. Now of course this chassid is he's talking about himself all the time, and I imagine, and or he makes it as a fictional chassid. But his sefer is riddled with chassidim, and he says the chassid made up the following little prayer of praise to the Rebbein Shalom. Herzachai, he says, this is quote. He's quote. Va'afilu amaskeloi medal gdu loscha v'toy v'secha. Even the wise man who has some little concept of how great Hashem is, how good Hashem is, loy b'maisa v'mespoyer. So the minute that maskil, that intelligent person, that wise man, comprehends God and His goodness, has no, he does not pride himself with his own actions. Rather, he casts himself upon the name of God and the mercies of God. That you, Hashem, have prepared his heart, you will machshir his heart, to know you and to serve you. Anybody's tzidkus is only with siyata d'shmaya and the help of their Rebbein Shalom. Without Hashem's help, the biggest tzaddik does nothing. And the only pride they take, and the only praise that they utter is the praise of God, not their own praises. When they praise, when they seek praise for their good actions, and for their tzidkus, it's not they praise themselves. They praise the Rebbein Shalom for making them tzaddikim, for doing the act of tzidkus with them and through them. The yishtet and tilim perik mem dalid, belehim hilalnu kol ayoyim, v'shimcha le'oylam noideh selah. With Hashem, we praise, in God we praise every day, and your name forever we give thanks to. So it's a chassid, a tzaddik, gives all the credit to the Rebbein Shalom, takes no credit for themselves. So ultimately, says the Baal Chayiv's Levav, is fool what you are. You want collateral from the Rebbein Shalom for serving the Rebbein Shalom. Who serves the Rebbein Shalom? We never served the Rebbein Shalom. Hashem helps us serve Him. So you can't ask for collateral, because collateral means I want a guarantee from God, payment for what I'm going to guarantee Him to do. We can't make any guarantees that we're going to serve God. And number two, even if we serve God, it's all with the koyach of the Rebbein Shalom Himself, which is something He mentioned earlier, if you remember, that knach, that how can I ask Hashem for a reward for serving Him if I couldn't serve Him without Him Himself? Also from the Rebbein Shalom. So now that we come to this point, I want to make it very clear, we're getting a bit of a better idea of what Bitachon is. Bitachon is total surrender to the Rebbein Shalom, that I know I'm nothing. It's not shayach bitachon if a person is a bal gaiva. Bitachon means I know that I am absolutely helpless, hopeless, gonished. Everything is b'siyata d'shmaya. I turn my life over to God. And this is why a person can be a rasha and still be a bal bitachon. So remember, this is the main thing to remember. Bitachon is not a reward for my mitzvahs. Just the opposite. The person comes to God and says, I have faith that God will take good care of me because He owes it to me. I've been such a good boy. That is the opposite of bitachon, because that implies that I do something on my own and I'm worthy and God owes me something. Bitachon is the exact opposite. I am worthless. God owes me nothing. Anything I've accomplished is only with siyata d'shmaya from the Rebbein Shalom. And that is why even a Rasha can have bitachon. As a matter of fact, a Rasha can have bigger bitachon than a tzaddik. But the tzaddik is in danger. You see, it's rough. It's a minefield out there. Dafka the tzaddik can say, it's kumpt mir. The Rasha knows it's kumpt am garnished. To a certain extent, the Rasha is in a better position than the tzaddik. Imagine that. And this week, interesting, you never know when you're going to learn something. You never know. You always got to speak and learn with Yidden. You never know. There was a Yid who was here this week. And we were talking. So I was talking to him about my favorite subject about tzedakah. And I mentioned that the Baal Shem Tov says, what I've mentioned here a few times, that we should never look down at a poor person. Because it's not the poor person, the shlamazel, or he's just stupid, or lazy, or, you know, he's not a good hustler, right? The poverty, I told the Baal Shem says, Norman megistem ein blayin fis. The poor person, the Rebbe Hashem pours lead in his feet and doesn't let him do anything. Hashem pours lead in his brain so that his brain doesn't function well. It's not the pshat that he's lazy or he's... That's part of the curse. The curse is not to be poor. The curse is to be lifeless, helpless, no energy, no vitality, blah. That's the curse of Aniyah. It's not the empty pocket. It's the empty brain, empty blood, empty everything. He's just oisgaledic. He's filled with lead, like a lead soldier. So I heard that in the name of Baal Shem Tov. So the Yid said, oh, I heard that in the name of the Chafetz Chaim. Really? I said, wow. Because I want to see inside, like the documentation. He says, yeah, it's in the memoirs of the Chafetz Chaim's son, Dugmois Medarki Avi, in the back of the Sifri Chafetz Chaim. I said, really? Wow. So I ran home, lickety split, and I whipped open my Chafetz Chaim and flipping through this whole Taka Gavalti Gazach, I haven't looked at in many years. And you have here at the very end of all the Kisvei Chafetz Chaim from his son, Ari Leiba Koyen, the son's biography of his father. And Taka here in Ois Ayin, he said you have to be very careful not to put down the poor people. And like Mevat Lemon said, a bunch of lazy deadbeats, welfare deadbeats, Chas v'shalom. They're not deadbeats. They are very hardworking people. But the curse is, it's not their fault. This is the klala from the Rabbeinu Shlalom, that when Hashem wants someone to be rich, the gzeir is not be rich. Hashem says, you will be a hustler. I'm giving you the energy to work day and night. You're going to work, and you got such seichel, and you make the right investments. You have to have kayach to do the right things. And the Orman, the Imam is the Eloshin, the guy whose mazel is being oni, min ha-shamayim noisnim like koyveg devorav, Hashem makes his limbs heavy, and his spirit is lazy, and the Loshin he says is, men gistim on mit blai, gewaltig. And he'd rather mamish eat dry bread and sleep on the floor and not work hard. That's the klala. And the biggest chesed you can do to the poor person, not give him money, but be mishtatif in his tzar and taka feel bad for him that he's taka so listless and so unmotivated. But the curse is the lack of motivation. Don't blame him for not being motivated. That's his curse. Don't say, oh, he can only be motivated. A value to try to get him a job and everything, but realize that the job really is not going to answer the question. So I just, and these guys, I'm telling you, I've been dealing with so many years. There's nothing wrong with them. They just can't get a right job. I mean, it's all part of the curse of the Baruch Hu. If Hashem wants them to be poor, you can take them to every place you want. I mean, you have to try. I'm not saying you shouldn't try, but you know, it's a mazel. And they just can't make more than $20,000 a year. They'll just get these lowly, menial jobs. It just doesn't work. You can't fight the Rebbe Hashem. You have to try, but you can't fight. Anyway, so you see, so the bracha is, I looked at this book, this sefer already. So once I'm here, so I found a lot of other good stuff. And one of the things that I found here, in the Os Vav, is where his son speaks about his father's bitachon. His father's bitachon was gevaltik. And he used to say in the name of the Gra, shot in the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Perikov Beis, that's Shiras David. David says there, Becha Arutz Gedud, B'Shimcha Daleg Shur. God, with you, I attack battalions of the enemy. With your name, I jump over the walls, I jump over the obstacles in battle. Meaning to say, not the Pshat Shemus HaKadoshim, not the Pshat that David HaMelech knew some kind of spooky holy names. It means with pure Bitachon. Bitachon, you can do anything. And he says he disagrees with the Baal Chavis Levavis. I really have to identify this more clearly where the Baal Chavis Levavis said this. He said someplace earlier, very vaguely. I must say, it's someplace here in the Shaar B'Tochen. Everyone said, I've seen like this week alone, I saw like a 3 or 4 Sforum, that there's a machlokes between the Groh and the Baal Chavis Levavis. The Baal Chavis Levavis allegedly says that a person who has no Yiras Shemayim, a person who's a sinner, the B'Tochen won't help. A sinner, B'Tochen doesn't help for him. And all these other people disagree. This is the one big machlokes. The Groh disagrees and says no, that even if you're a sinner, you can have B'Tochen B'Hashem. Because B'Tochen B'Hashem does not mean that I am relying on my mitzvahs. Just the opposite. This is exactly what we're saying. I don't think the Chavos disagrees. I have to really, they don't pinpoint exactly where the Chavos says. I know earlier on, I have to make a little review. Earlier on, he might have alluded something. It might sound like that. I don't think so. From what we're learning today, everything we see in the Chavos Vavos would say the opposite. Okay, but legend is machlokes. The Chavos Vavos says if you're a chote, a sinner cannot have B'Tochen. And the Groh says he can. And the Chavetz Chaim says here, his son says, my father was very happy because he says, I, the son, found a raya to my father and to the Groh from a Yalkut and Tillim. It says in the Yalkut Tillim Perek Chafei, Elohai b'cha b'tochti al evoisha. My God, in you I put my faith. I will never be humiliated. I will never be disappointed. My Sahaya B'Kisrin, there was a big person, and there was a king who came to Caesarea, and there was a Yid who was traveling around, and the Roman guards didn't like travelers, they thought they're spies, so they grabbed this Yiddish traveler, and they threw him into jail. So the Yid says, leave me alone. Ben Vaisa Shemelachani. Don't you know I'm from the court of the king? I'm one of the king's people. So this Nebuch Yiddel, who they grabbed as a spy, he said, you are taking me and putting me in jail? Don't you know that I'm from the king's people? I'm a member of the court? So they heard that. They put him in a nicer room. And the next morning they took him to the king's court. And they said, we found your courtier wandering around. He claims he's from your court. Is that so? So the king said, I never saw you in my life. Who are you? What kind of chutzpah do you have to claim that you're from my court? So he says, oh, I am from your court because I put my whole faith in the king. I believe in you, O king. I believe in your justice. I believe in your decency. I certainly am a member of your court because my whole life is in your hands. King said, you know what? If that man has such faith in me, if he believes in me so much and trusts in my decency and erlichkeit, let him go. He's taki is a member of my court. So too, kachomer David HaMelech, Elohai b'cho b'tachti, b'shvil she'b'cho b'tachti, al yaltzu oyvai li, v'lo ani latmi kol kach, elagam koivecha kol koivecha lo yevayshu. David HaMelech said, not just me, anybody who puts their faith in you, Rabbi Shalom, they will not be embarrassed. So he said, he showed it to his father. So I said, oh, those are right to the Groh. It makes no difference who you are. Even if the king never saw you. In other words, you didn't come to shul. You haven't been in shul lately. The Rebbe doesn't recognize you. You didn't put on tefillin lately. You didn't put on tzitzis. You don't look Jewish. You don't look like a Jew. You don't look like from Paltin Shemelech. But if a person would have faith and say, and I know people who are not so from, and not such a big medakti even mitzvahs, but their faith in their Rebbein Shalom, they love their Rebbein Shalom. It's Eisen. Really, they do. And they have a Messiah like that. Their mamash have gewaltig be talking about Hashem, and it works. I see it. And other people who claim that they're very frum, they don't have so much be talking. Because be talking has nothing to do with your level of Torah mitzvahs. Be talking is how much do you really believe in God? That God takes over your life. I surrender my life to you, O God. I know that everything's in your hands. I whatever I do doesn't make a difference. I just do a mashu. Just, there should be miracles. But it's all you, Rabbi Shalom. You don't have to be a Yirei Shemayim for that. B'tochen is not a schus. You're not being saimich on your other merits. B'tochen in and of itself is a reality. It's like, you know, a person has to have a dialysis. So you can know how a kidney machine works, how you can know everything about it. You can be the inventor of the machine. You can believe you have the inventor of the machine. You built the machine. You know everything about it. You're a kidney specialist. Your mom is a genius. But if you don't hook yourself into the machine, it just don't work. It just don't work. If you don't like dialysis, I don't be hooked up to the machine. No, not me. I'm not going to be hooked up to the machine. No, I'm not going to be a prisoner to a machine every day. So you can understand the machine. You can have invented the machine. You built the machine. You're a multimillionaire. You're a genius. You're a kidney specialist. If you don't hook yourself to the machine don't work, and you die of renal failure, Rahman Latan. And you don't know a thing about machines, but someone hooks you up. You just say, hook me up. And that's it. You're hooked up. It works. Be talking is I'm hooked up to the Baruch Shalom. I don't function on my own. I am totally, I plugged into the Baruch Shalom. I'll sit from the Baruch Shalom. I do nothing myself. He takes care of me. I'm plugged into him. That's all it takes. So you can be a Pashta person without any grace of Yerushalayim, without any grace of mitzvahs. Be talking is a reality. I mean, it's just as simple as all that. It's as simple as all that. It's as simple as all that. And people go to doctors. And they don't want to take the medicine. You can go to the best doctor in the world, and you know the medicine works even. I just don't want to take this medicine. It's too hard for me. And you can have a push to the person that's not the first thing about medicine, and he's a poor schnook, but he believes in the doctor. The doctor gives him a pill, he takes it. He's well. Me talking is I believe that they're punished on the chart. Whatever pills he gives me, I take. And you can be the biggest chacham, you can be a big Talmud chacham, a big lamdan, and you're not going to be the same Baal Bitachon. Bitachon has nothing to do with your zachias. That's the main point. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim is trying to say as well. That is what the Chofetz Chaim is saying as well. Bitachon is totally in giving your life, surrendering to Hashem. So therefore, he says, how can a person therefore ask Hashem to pay him up front? That's the biggest oxymoron to Bitachon, is like, Hashem, you owe it to me because I'm going to serve you. The Baal Bitachon understands that even when he serves the Rebbeinu Shalom, the old energy comes because he's hooked up to the Baruch Shalom. Everything came from the Baruch Shalom in the first place. So how can I demand payment up front? You guarantee payment to me because I guarantee service. There's no guarantee of service because Bitachon means I don't do anything on my own. Everything comes. B'koyach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we'll stop here today, everybody's side.